God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and this fourth message on prayer. The encouraging word. Yes, today we close out our four-part series on real intercessory prayer. But the reality is, Dr. Don's always talking about the power of prayer. Not just talking about it, but we live it out. We're connecting 24 hours a day, both on our website at tewonline.org and this phone number to pray for you. The phone number is 866-899-WORD. I pray you've jotted it down or stored it in your cell. We'd be happy to take your call anytime, day or night, to pray with you, to connect you with great resources. Again, the number is 866-899-9673 or online. We'd love to connect with you with great resources like the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide, absolutely free. That's tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Wilton.
First of all, we discover that in the days beyond Alexander the Great, two major regions of problems occur in the world. The one is called the southern region, which is the Egyptians and that area of the world. The other is the northern region, which is called the north, which is Syria and the Russians. Now, this is very important to note this because when Armageddon occurs, the Bible tells us that there are going to be hordes of people that are going to come down from the north and are going to march with the Antichrist against God's people. From verse 5 in Daniel chapter 11 all the way through to verse 21, there are some interesting developments that are very detailed. Now, I'm going to say this one thing to you. Every single prophecy concerning Egypt in the south and Syria in the north has been completely fulfilled according to what God is telling us here in Daniel chapter 11. Every one of those things have been fulfilled. Talking about the family lines, we're talking about the fortresses of the north, the armies of the south. We're talking about seizing their gods. We're talking about religious and political ascendancy from metal images and valuable articles of silver which are carried down into Egypt. We're going to see the rise and the political ascendancies of the kings of the north and the kings of the south who do battle against one another. And right in the middle of all of this is Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus Epiphanes was a master maneuver. He managed to wheedle his way into power in such a manner that when we find ourselves in verse 21, which is where I want to pick up, we read about Antiochus Epiphanes, and this is what we read. He will be succeeded by a contemptible person who has not been given the honor of royalty. He will invade the kingdom when its people feel secure, and he will seize it through intrigue. Then an overwhelming army will be swept away before him. Both it and a prince of the covenant will be destroyed. After coming to an agreement with him, he will act deceitfully, and with only a few people, he will rise to power. This is exactly what Antiochus Epiphanes did. He went on the attack. He tried to attack Israel. Then he began to back off, so he set up an alliance with Israel. But he only kept his alliance with Israel until it no longer suited him. I want you to think about the tribulation here, folks. Eventually, what he did was he turned his attention to the south, toward Egypt. Look what happens here in verse 29 and verse 30. At the appointed time, he will invade the south again. But this time, the outcome will be different from what it was before. Ships from the western coastlands will oppose him, and he will lose heart. Here's exactly what happened to Antiochus Epiphanes. Here he is dabbling around with Israel. He's trying to gain political ascendancy in Syria and the areas of Iraq and Iran, as we know him, the Babylonian area or Mesopotamia, which is the land between the two rivers. And eventually he's getting so frustrated, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it out on the Egyptians. And he turns and he marches his armies down towards Egypt. And something happens on the way down there. He suddenly encounters the Roman general Pompilius. And Pompilius, who was one of the most notorious and powerful Roman generals, suddenly sails his ships from the western coastlands and confronts Antiochus Epiphanes and says to him, listen, old chap, you are not going to attack Egypt. And if you attack Egypt, you're going to have to deal with me and my Roman legions. And so Antiochus Epiphanes, being the chicken that he was, he backs off and he says, no, I was just thinking about it. After all, I don't think I'm going to attack Egypt. So you know what he does, folks? He turns around and he makes a beeline for you know where, for Jerusalem. And for 3.5 years, Antiochus Epiphanes vents his anger and frustration out on the Jewish people. And do you remember what we read about in chapter 8? You remember he burned the law, the Torah? Remember he banned all the religious rites such as circumcision, Jewish males? Do you remember what he did to people who violated those things? The public executions? There were literally hundreds of Jews that were slaughtered in Jerusalem in the most terrifying time in the history of Judaism for a period of 3.5 years. What does the Bible say about the Antichrist? The Bible says that he's going to establish a covenant with the Jewish people. For 3.5 years, there's going to be some form of peace. The world is going to follow this man called the Antichrist. The end of the 3.5 years, he's going to break his covenant. And he's going to pour out unmitigated tribulation, not only against the Jews, but against all those who refuse to wear the mark of the beast on their foreheads or in their hands. The number 666. He's going to persecute them. This is the time out of which tribulation saints are going to be amassed that the book of Revelation talks about. It's going to be the worst terror that the world has ever seen. And from verse 36 through verse 45, God's word gives us a description of the characteristics of the Antichrist. They are embodied in Antiochus Epiphanes, but they are exactly what God is talking about in 1 John chapter 4 when he tells us that antichrists have already been loosed upon this world. I want to just summarize them for you. Number one, the antichrist will do as he pleases. In other words, he is the lawless one or the man of lawlessness. Bible tells us he's going to do exactly what he pleases, whenever he pleases, and however he pleases. Number two, he's going to exalt himself. One of the marks of the Antichrist is that he is going to announce that he is God. People are going to worship the Antichrist. When he makes his world tour, he's going to be on the front headlines of every newspaper and every television channel. People are going to follow him. They're going to do whatever they can to get into his presence. He's going to be highly esteemed. Number three, he's going to be successful until the end of the tribulation. Number four, he will have no control over events. Now, isn't that a dramatic irony? The Antichrist is going to think that he's in control. He's going to be ordering this and decreeing that, but he's going to have no control because he's going to be marching according to God's drumbeat. Number five, he will not regard the religions of the world. All of a sudden, it's not going to matter whether you are a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist or a Shintoist or whatever religion you might be of. This man is going to be so powerful that he is going to have a total disregard for all religions of the world. Number six, he will possibly be a homosexual. Now, folks, I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to show you why this is being said here in Scripture. It's a very interesting statement, but I believe that it has potential. Verse 36, the king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods, who is God Jehovah. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. When is that? The battle of Armageddon. We know that. For what has been determined must take place. He's got no control over the events that are taking place. He will show no regard for the gods. He has no respect for religion, for the gods of his fathers, or for the one desired by women. Some commentators have made the statement that it is very possible that the Antichrist will be homosexual. One of the things that is interesting to note is the rapid and meteoric rise of the rights of homosexuality in today's day and age, to the point at which any semblance of opposition to any form of alternative lifestyle is construed as anti-constitution. The very Constitution of the United States of America is the means by which alternative lifestyles, and by that I mean anything which contradicts the law of God through His Word, is being presented in the courts of law. The very fabric of society is being turned on the head of society. And here in the prophecy of Daniel, there is certainly a suggestion here that the Antichrist is going to be someone who has no desire for women. Number seven, he will use the military. The Bible tells us, if you look, for example, can I just back up a minute because I need to say this to you. Verse 37, he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the one desired by women. Nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above all of them. Now that word there, will exalt himself above all of them, quite literally interpreted, means that what he thinks and feels will be considered sufficient in terms of the law.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and oh, what a powerful point of insight to gain, whether it be insight on the word exalt or other elements that are helping us understand how we have the power to be intercessors in prayer. Know that we'd be happy to intercede for you as well. We'd love to pray for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now back to today's message, Real Intercessory Prayer with Dr. Don Wilton.
If you want to study today's day and age, and of course there's a semblance of this being true for years and decades. I'm not picking on this generation. But one of the hallmarks is this issue of lawlessness, that men and women are basically a law unto themselves. If I like it, if it suits me, and I want to do it, that is my right. And I have the Constitution to back me for that. If it tastes good and I want to eat it, I can eat it. If it looks good and I want to touch it, I can touch it. If I desire to possess it, I can possess it. One of the things that disturbs me greatly today is the issue of pornography, and especially when it comes to computers. And I want to say to parents today, with all the love in my heart, be very, very, very careful about your children and computers. Pornography is so accessible today, it is there at the push of a button. And it is very naive for you and me to say, well, my kid is a good kid. They're just not going to do that. It's gone beyond temptation. It is almost being forced on our children and adults, of course. And I heard a discussion the other day that just shocked me to the core. And it was a man who got up and he said, listen, pornography, whether or not you think it's right or wrong, is the right of every citizen of the United States. Now, folks, I'm going to stand here today and I'm going to tell you, if you tell me that it is my right to indulge in the desecration of womanhood, which is the primary means and focus of pornography, if you don't know that, it is the denigration and the desecration of womanhood. That is the primary focus of pornography. And in America today, the world is saying, it is my right. I have the right to choose whether or not I want that pornography, but it must be made available to me. The problem is today, our young people are not being given the right to choose. It is being presented to them. On any computer today, my computer, your computer, when you get into the internet, right up at the top of every computer, they'll show you some semi-hot scene about something and tell you to click on this. And if you click on that, you're going to be able to get the rest of the story. There's nothing even subtle about it. Well, the Antichrist, when God talks about Antichrists are already being leashed upon the earth, this is what God is talking about. The spirit of the Antichrists. And by the way, I'm very concerned about our children and computers. I think computers are wonderful things, and I think that the information that they give has been incredible. But I tell you, folks, I shudder. Do you know the average university today, every university classroom and every dormitory has access to computers. And most of the good universities today provide computers, and I'm for that. I think it's very good. But I'm telling you, I cannot even begin to imagine the kind of pornography that is being brought into the university campuses. And I'm just picking on one little issue. And folks, when pornography begins to penetrate the minds of our people, you've got the makings of an unmitigated disaster on your hands. Human nature cannot handle that. And it seems to me rather staggering that the Bible says these things about the Antichrist. He'll show no regard for the gods of his fathers, no respect for history or religion. Who cares about what anybody else has done, or for the one desired by woman? Possibly he will be homosexual. He will fly the banner. Tell you, the other day I was deeply disturbed because I turned on television. I'm one of those old-fashioned people who like to watch C-SPAN and the History Channel and listen to the British House of Parliament carrying on with each other and things like that, as well as all the ball games I can find. But I turned on TV a couple of weeks ago. It was a Sunday afternoon, and an actress got up amid all the cheers and applause of everybody, and her language, her blasphemy was absolutely it was the most filthy thing I've ever heard. This is not pay-per-view or buying HBO. This is C-SPAN. And the crowds cheered. She used God's name in vain. She spoke about her daughter, who's just 4 years old. And she said the greatest desire that she's got as a parent is that her daughter can grow up knowing that if she chooses another woman, that she will make mommy very happy. But she must have that option. And as a four-year-old girl, she's going to give her daughter every option she possibly can have to be able to make that choice. And if she chooses to quote-unquote be straight, well, then that's just okay. But it's got to be her choice. Are you listening to this, folks? Well, the Antichrist will use the military. The Bible says in verse 38, instead of them, he will honor a god of fortresses. In other words, instead of going after religion or getting the backing of education or of the scientific mind or the political establishment, what's he going to use? He's going to use the army. He's going to use the military. The Bible tells us furthermore that the Antichrist will carry a high price. It says in verse 39, he will attack the mightiest fortresses with the help of a foreign god and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. He will make them rulers over many people and will distribute the land at a price. It says that he will carry a high price. He will attack and destroy. He will honor those who honor him. Verse 40 tells us that Egypt is going to come against him, is going to be beaten. Syria is going to come against him and will be beaten. And then the word of God says in verse 41, he will invade many countries and he will sweep through them like a flood, and he will also invade the beautiful land, which is God's land. It's the holy land. It's the land of Israel. Many countries will fall, but Edom and Moab and the leaders from Ammon will be delivered. How do we know that? We know that because of what the book of Revelation tells us. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans and the Nubians in submission. But reports from the east and from the north. Where from the east? I believe that's from China. I believe China is the name of the game. And what is going on in China today, my friend, is marching down the highway of God's progression for the ages. Did you know that when Governor Clinton was running against President Bush, Governor Clinton said, and I almost quote, he said, "When I become president of the United States of America, China better beware." Clinton said, "If you elect me president of the United States of America, any form of trade or negotiation with China will be linked directly to their human rights record. And if China does not toe the line in terms of human rights and religious toleration, there will be no trade with China." Why do I say all these things? Simply because, my friends, we are marching according to God's timetable. Bible says the Antichrist will hear reports from the east and from the north, and these reports will alarm him. Watch what happens. Here's the Antichrist. He's now turned away from Jerusalem. He's gone back down to Egypt, and he's giving Egypt a black eye. Then he comes back again and he attacks Jerusalem. And while he's attacking Jerusalem, he suddenly gets reports from China that these people are going to come against him. And the reports from the north, the Russians. And so he begins to get nervous about this. And so he begins to set up an alliance with them. And he joins forces with the forces from the north and from the east. And they begin to march together. And guess where they meet for the final time? A place called Armageddon. Well, look what the word says. In verse 45, he will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. That's the place called Armageddon. And then the next statement is staggering. Yet he will come to his end and no one will help him. Now, I want to just show you one more thing here. I want to just read a few verses in chapter 12. Would you mind if I did that? Watch this. "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of great distress such as not happened from the beginning of the nations until then." Has anybody here ever asked the question, how do you know that Christians are not going to be a part of the tribulation? Well, here it is in Daniel. "But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book," will what? "Will be delivered." That is another reason, my friends, why I believe that all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be taken out of this world.
That's exciting truth. And it all bears down on the reality of, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton on The Encouraging Word. And before we get away, perhaps the most important words from our pastor are next.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
If the Lord has spoken to you, I pray you would not let this moment pass without drawing a line in the sand, without sharing this with somebody. We'd be thrilled if you wanted to share it with us. We have resources that'll help you grow in your faith. And if you've just given your heart to Jesus, Dr. Don has a wonderful packet of resources he'd love to put in your hands. So let us know. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now, before we get away, some exciting things about this fresh March message from Dr. Don.
What happens the moment you die? Where do you go? Will we see our loved ones in heaven? Dr. Don Wilton looks at these questions and more in The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death, a modern retelling of the biblical story of the rich man and Lazarus. This compelling story chronicles the choices and fate of two very different but ordinary men, one very rich, one very poor, and what happened when they both died. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry, supporting God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support.
Brother Don, I'm a prisoner here in North Carolina, and I've been listening to your preaching on the radio broadcast each morning for quite some time now. I really wanted to write you to let you know what a blessing you have been to me. Hearing you preach the Word of God and how you love the Lord Jesus Christ has just truly touched my heart more than I could ever express. I'm 42 years old and I was brought up in church and have always had a deep love for Jesus Christ. I was saved at a young age, but got on the wrong path that caused me such heartache and sorrow. I've been through pancreatic cancer and a lot of health issues, but the Lord has blessed me to live and to be healed. I know in my heart He has called me for a purpose to serve Him, and I will be getting released in just a few more years. And my dream is to get into the ministry for Jesus Christ and to live for Him the rest of my life. When I hear you preach and teach, it just touches my heart so deeply, and I want to be able to meet you in person one day. And I look forward to hearing you on the radio each and every day.
That number once more is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you and connect with great resources. We can do it online as well at tewonline.org.